Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
We're so excited to share a new addition to the Critical Role family with our podcast, Midst. In this semi-improvised audio drama, journey to the small desert planet of Midst and follow the lives of three complicated antiheroes as they deal with falling moons, unsolved murders, cult brainwashing, supernatural darkness, and a whole clusterfuck of cosmic problems. Look to the Midstle of the Week, a.k.a. Wednesdays, for new weekly episodes at Midst.co, your favorite podcast app, or Critical Role's YouTube channel.
Welcome to Foresighted Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
Greetings and welcome to Foresighted Dive. I'm Sam Riegel. Tonight I will be facilitating a deeply serious and thought-provoking discussion about episodes 83 through 86 of Critical Role, with absolutely no bits. Joining me tonight, we have Travis Willingham, who portrays Chetney Pocopy, Liam O'Brien, whose character is Aurum of the Air Ashari, and Taliesin Jaffe, who plays Ashiatun Greymore. The runtime of tonight's episode is variable based upon the quality of our discussion, but it will be posted in chat by Nightbot. This episode will be uploaded as VOD on YouTube tomorrow. I'm sorry. I can't do this. We can't do this. We took the bits away from Foresighted Dive, but without a charming British guest host, it's just impossible. We tried to film an episode last month. We just sat here for 2 hours staring at each other. Travis got lost in one of Danny's secret passages. Liam's been asleep in that chair for 3 days. Talison turned into a doll. A doll. And my Pinot Noir was corked. It's unsustainable! We have to bring the bits back.
But Sam, what about people who hate the bits?
I don't care, Dahl Taliesin. As a founder of Critical Role and a 2-time Emmy winner, I hereby reinstate the Foresighted Dive bits.
No, no, no.
I'm doing it, goddammit. Okay, that's better. We were gonna quietly look at seashells in the sea block, but fuck it. Let's play some caper cards. Welcome to Foresighted Dive. Let's fucking do a show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Foresighted Dive. I'm your host for tonight, Sam Riegel. With me is Liam, Travis, Taliesin, and let's not forget Danny Carr, who I think I hear in the air ducts above us somewhere.
Really, like John McClane?
Yeah. Yeah, she's somewhere. Okay. We have a few things to talk about tonight. We're gonna begin with our open discussion segment entitled, "What the f*** is up with that?"
Oh, you're self-censoring.
I want this episode to be played at schools.
Huh. At school.
At school.
After what kind of a time horizon? Are we talking 8-year, 10-year?
No, like this
real
week.
Real time.
This week. And this you're saving week. The crew the work of bleeping things out.
Yes.
Self-bleeping.
Yes. Do you think they still show television during school hours?
My son came home the other day and was like, I said, "What did you do today?" He was like, "We watched The Prince of Egypt."
Yeah? Your class?
I was like, "The whole thing?" He's like, "Yeah, it took 2 days, but we watched the whole thing."
That happened in elementary school. That's where I saw the first Star Wars and then Old Yeller, and one of those went worse than the other one did. No? You didn't watch any movies in elementary school?
I did. I'm thinking high school. I had an old tube television rolled out to watch the Romeo and Juliet movie. Now every child has a television in the palm of their hand, barely paying attention to what the teacher's saying.
It's still fun to watch movies in class.
I went to an irritating actor high school for a while. The one of those, like, you know, that you're not going to have a real job high schools. And they took us to see Macbeth at UCLA.
Oh.
And my English teacher's kid was in it, like, who had gone to college. And when we left, he's like, "I'm so sorry. That was terrible." He was right. It was awful.
But
he was like, "I'm so sorry I dragged you to that. This was a terrible performance."
How did it end?
Happily.
Okay.
They planted a lot of trees, if I recall. I don't know, they reforested.
Go green, yep.
This is the sort of content that you've tuned in for tonight. Us talking about high school movies.
They passed out last time.
We saw Macbeth, that's all.
A lot happened in the last few episodes, boys.
Are you sure?
We went to the moon.
Oh.
We were on the moon, and we were still on the moon.
Yeah.
And then we took like a little off the moon.
Oh, we did,
A little, and then we're back on the moon. They'll take that part out for the school.
Yeah,
we were like,
Thank God. The hand saved it.
So let's talk.
I guess I'll play this in sex education.
Ruidus.
Yeah.
Let's talk Ruidus. That's the first topic on our top menu.
Top topics.
It is a menu. It does look like a menu.
Yeah. Ruidus, new biome, who dis? What do you guys, what do you think of Ruidus, the red moon that's not a moon?
Well, shit, we certainly talked about it long enough before going. I'm excited to be there.
I want to slow down and have a little more fun. Everyone keeps rushing.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to slow down.
That's true.
What does fun look like for you?
I want a space suit. I want a rocket ship. I want a jetpack. We have a jetpack kind of.
You want to test the atmosphere and the gravity.
No, but there's a one available. We just have to take. We have to just take it off the person who has it.
Oh,
Odahan, yeah.
But that just poops out shadows. That doesn't like propeller, does it?
I don't know.
Oh, is that why she jumps?
She
so
jumps.
Good?
No. Yeah.
What? Who said that?
The set disagrees.
John McClane in the HVAC.
She doesn't. She doesn't have a jetpack.
No, it's
Danny Carr, everyone.
Hi. No, it's more than likely, I'm assuming, but it's probably how she makes her echoes, because it's got the potions of possibility in it, gang.
Oh,
those are potions of possibility?
Yes!
Y'all
knew this!
Yeah, they're like gerbil water bottles, and they just sort of...
Yeah, exactly.
If we put her in the
tube. No, she does her psi-powered leap, because that's exultant stuff.
But I bet if we put her in the tube, we can then do the Hulk jumps.
In the tube?
Yeah,
we just
turn her, we just suck all of her power out for
a siphon.
I'm calling it the tube right now because it's funnier.
Well, so there's two things. We would have to siphon both her and her jetpack.
Yeah.
Or one or the other.
Both. You just take your time.
Can hear her. She's right about there now.
Uh-huh. No, but I want to roll around and have like some touristy shit. Like, I know there's always the pressure to get shit done, but like, no, I want to.
When the world's at stake?
It's been 6 hours. We have at least 3 days to mess around.
Yeah,
I want to take.
It was a very eventful.
I want some sightseeing.
I went to Japan once for work, and I only had 3 days, and I had to work the whole time. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah. No.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to go to Shibuya. I wanted to look around. I wanted to go to Cat Cafe. Well, I just had to go to work.
No game is worth that.
That's fair. We haven't really gotten a test like, where does the air end? What's the gravity like?
Yeah. Well, we asked about gravity, and he said that it was more or less the same,
apparently,
but that doesn't make sense.
It's not a real moon.
It does in make-believe.
I guess.
Because we're on the body of a concealed god killer, and he's got grabs.
Extra, maybe he has extra mass.
I can also tell you it's possible that perhaps Exandria's hollow. So there's more mass on the moon.
How could it be hollow? That is a bold theory.
Why would it be hollow?
Because that way the moon's mass would be the same as Exandria's mass, because Exandria's mass is like, it's just a hollow like balloon.
How could a flat disk be hollow?
True.
It's a donut. Exandria. Uh-huh. Granted, I don't really know how gravity works in general. It is just a theory, you know?
You're a lore keeper, not a science keeper.
Exactly.
This is what Einstein said.
It's mo mass, mass gravity. Mo mass, mo
equals mo gravity.
So if you were a touristing around Taliesin, obviously seeing the sights, what do you think about the sites that we've seen? What do you think about the people we've met? We went to a little farming village where they farm.
Despair now, thanks to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did you think of those folks?
I mean, it was like going to Hokkaido, I guess. I mean, it was like nice and I have to like.
So Rudis is just Japan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. If I'm gonna be a Mars weeb about this.
Okay. Okay.
Well, before the nice people that we met. How about how we pooch screwed the landing on the moon?
Woo!
We got there, they were on our tails, but not really, and we stood on the launch pad going like, what did we do? How did we do this? We didn't hide, we didn't attack a tent, we didn't fucking run, we just stood there with our thumbs up our asses and then really botched it.
We picked a direction and just made such a big show of like
such
where we were going.
Yeah, we are a recon unit. Lottie is raring to go. She's making big moves that I love, but they're not on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
No, people remember us.
Yes, they do.
We're very memorable.
Yeah.
I do feel like, not to throw Matt under the bus.
Let's do it.
I think
we would have done different things if I knew that there was like a gate there that we could have gone through.
Sure.
Didn't
sure.
he say like, no, there's no gate. He said
you just see a fence, which is fair.
No, you know, when we play this game, sometimes Matt starts talking and you're like, oh wait, I gotta check that thing. So you like miss 10 second fragments sometimes, and then the crucial bits happen.
It's true. He said there were no gaps between the fences, even though there was in the map, which is why most recently we went to the lakeside like town and we were like, what about the shelves? What about the front visage of the buildings? What about the streets? Yes. Are there tracks? He's like, it's overgrown.
It's the chair all over again.
Yeah. It must be so hard to be Matt Mercer.
I'm sure, but I think—
Because he can't just say to us, like, there's nothing fucking there! No. Just move on!
Yeah. No one knows.
Why?
I can't keep these seven fucking babies happy.
We could have done a much better job of quietly taking out at least one of those two people and then maybe looking around that camp instead of fleeing so quickly, but we did, and then we got the fuck out of Dodge with Odahan on our tail.
We had a whole bunch of close calls in that battle.
Oh, yeah.
Like down to the wire. And then it never let up. We just kept
fucking
that day
harder.
Kept going forever.
It's no good, really bad
found
day.
A cave. We saw a vision of, what is it, doom worms?
Bane worms.
I'm sure it's dune worms.
It's graboids.
Thank you. That's what I wanted.
And then we made it to the village.
And then, like, the caverns were great. I want to do more cavern. I was like, why are we coming up for air? I don't want to come up for air.
Before
I want
to
stay in the caverns.
Yeah, I want to just talk about the fight at the village against the Willmaster.
So we're not at the doormat of Mars, of Rudis. We're past that now.
We've gotten past that. We got to the farming village where we met
Elder
Barthy and Domo, Melro, Nodo.
Don't know.
Trent Reznor Town.
Yes.
And we found out that there are actually all sorts, like much like Exandria, there are all sorts of creatures and people who live up here with varying opinions and issues.
Yes.
Matt is.
But they are all
it.
Squishy, Matt and we can kill them
it.
All.
In that one game, he got Dono, he got Chu. He introduced us to Barthy.
The Setas, the different folk of this other world scaring the shit out of us by having Odahan just be right there. And then I know you don't want to get to the caverns, but man, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
And the Blue Hope, right? The Blue Hope in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their perspective on it.
Blue
it's
promise.
The Blue Hope, Danny!
That's a great, terrible app. Oh, God.
The Blue Hope!
I love.
Promise.
Yeah, I want. We were talking about you gotta get in those dreams. We gotta get in those dreams. I want to see.
Yeah, we were talking about this in a text thread. If the folks on the moon can hear our dream, can see our dreams at night, is there a way to maybe like
Inception
those dreams, corrupt those dreams?
Inception check.
Yeah, Inception check. Put install like a virus in their hive mind or something.
Go into the dreams that they're having about your dreams, while they're dreaming and you're dreaming and they're dreaming your dreams.
It really is just Independence Day, right? We're going to use a dial-up modem to put a bad program that is 50 megabytes into the hive mind.
But we have one, I think. That's what I think the seed's going to do.
He had a radar.
I think that All Minds Burn is going to fuck him
up. His car.
Your theory is that the seed from All Minds Burn is meant to corrupt the Ruidus Born or the Rhyloran mind network?
It's not meant to corrupt it, but you know, sometimes you eat some bad fish and you know, you're taken out for a week. Things happen.
They have similar properties, right? Hive mind is like a bunch of shared connected minds are all operating together, and the Rhylorans are also connected but in a different way. So either they've been separated and we put them together we'll really be fucked. Or B, they'll like mind fight. Hive mind fight.
From all the lore I have on All Minds Burn, because they were part of my backstory packet. That is, thank God I was given a big, like that whole town. They're pretty cool. They're pretty chill. They're weird, but they're pretty.
They're not about expansion.
I mean,
or just acceptance.
They don't have to be. Like people just go in for it. You know, it's not. Yeah, they're. You go in. I had the option to go in. I was thinking about it.
Can you give it some flavor? Because I always looked at it as like an opium den. It was like they don't force you in, but once you're in, like it's hard to leave.
It's hard to leave, but like it is hard to leave once you're in. But they're again, they don't have to advertise. And okay. And it's
a good cult.
Is it like the burner community?
No, thank God, no. It's much chiller than that.
Do they do outreach?
I don't think so.
Okay. And what does it do, the All Minds Burn?
I don't exactly know how like the full economic process of it, but like when you ingest it, it creates a sense of connection like a hive mind, but it is that sudden feeling of, from what I understand since I haven't done it yet, just suddenly feeling like part of a family and having the knowledge that you are seen and being seen, and in like there's just this sudden shared experience.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a nice warm.
That's totally gonna be something. That's absolutely gonna be
something.
And
you know,
I'm the writers of Rohan, baby.
I'm Ashton was good childhood friends with the daughter of one of the higher ups who's now weird.
She's back.
Hey.
Hi.
What?
And it does remind me of the way that Ruidus makes the Ruidus Born feel, like that they're, or at least makes the people on Ruidus feel like they're all like held and comforted and safe and things like that, and they're all part of something. So the theory holds that it does make sense that they could potentially be connected somehow.
Swifties are like this too, I know. I have
it is the Swifties of Exandria.
We love Taylor Swift.
She got some great hits.
Taylor who?
I'm curious for Kitchen Menu for a second.
Lazar, but I like her.
Still in the village where we had Willmaster Telemundo.
Telemundo.
Yes.
What's her name?
Edmunda.
Edmunda.
We were there.
And we sucked a little bit of her power out and then instantly turned around and got some confessions out, and we learned a little bit about intentions that they love their sleeping daddy, and they want to move to the Blue Promise.
But not to take it over.
They said a couple of things.
They were going to carve out an area and then decide.
I think that there are a lot of opinions.
Oh, 30 minutes. Gotta check it. Those of you watching at home, Marisha,
our friend Marisha,
is going somewhere tonight, and we set a timer so we can check up on her.
Not because she asked us to, but just to be entirely obnoxious.
Yeah, she's going to a thing.
We have a thread.
She's doing some recon.
Yeah, we're gossiping. I'm
typing in all caps to show urgency.
Okay. So we'll report to you what Marisha reports to us.
Resetting 30 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
So these the Rylorans, mm-hmm. or some of the Rylorans, have... So here's what we know about them so far. They and a bunch of goons from home mm-hmm. showed up in Zephra, tried to murder the leader of an entire people who had done nothing to them, right?
Do we know the motives for that?
Yeah. They were... Ludi wanted to see if Ludi. They Ludi. Could get... Luda wanted to see if he could get the champion, the matron's champion, out of the sky so he could catch him.
Oh, so that was all to lure Vax?
Yes.
Oh, I see. It wasn't really about Keyleth.
They were testing to see if they poked her, if it would bring down her lost love.
Gotcha.
Okay,
worked.
It did, but they tried to, they straight up attacked, right? Mm-hmm. A free people, and now they're saying, yeah, I know that we tried to kill that lady, and I know we've killed a bunch of people, and I know that we have nukes in this giant silo, but you can trust us to use them wisely and with discretion. We're gonna move down to one area and we'll decide from there.
Do you notice they haven't mentioned the gods, really? That the political motivations of everything happening on Exandria, I think, are utterly separated. I think that these are, I'm actually curious that towards the end, if these two things are gonna hit clash really hard.
We talked to Nodo about it, maybe?
A little.
And the Elder.
The Elder? Oh, it was Johnny Carson.
God, what a fucking ride.
And he sort of viewed our gods as sort of quaint, right? Like,
yeah.
It was just like, oh yeah, those gods that you guys think about sometimes in your dreams, whatever. Like, they didn't seem to have a strong opinion either way.
From their perspective, they've never experienced any interventionist gods before. It's just myth.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And yet, very few of us, the Bell's Hells, have also experienced interventionist gods.
No, but like on that, I mean, like to say the gods don't exist on Exandria is
impossible.
You're a crazy person.
You're crazy.
Right. Like, look, like everything that happens is clearly there are sky people.
That people hear from them, legitimately hear from them all the time.
There's
like
magic.
Letters.
Yeah.
There is magic.
Like, no one denies them.
Yeah.
It's just how you feel about
them.
There
was a god battle over a city.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then up in the moon, it's just like a myth. It might as well be Olympus because none of that happens there. Everything for them is just contained.
It feels like there's a sleeping daddy because they all link up online.
That's
and
the
they
only
play
thing
EverQuest
got.
Together.
If Elder Barthy and his peeps on the moon were on Exandria at one time, do you think there are like remnants of Elder Barthy's people somewhere on Exandria still?
Or did they?
There must be.
Or did he get them all in one scoop?
Yeah, like are they a bunch of Caduceus's ancestors who then just sort of...
Somewhere in the Shattered Teeth or somewhere in the...
I was shocked that we didn't come up in the Shattered Teeth. I was really expecting...
I was too, yeah.
Although maybe there's a whole bunch of little
that
back doors.
That part of the silver is like super unmapped, unexplored, right? It's like they said beginner... Mm-hmm. What was it? What kind of free peoples?
What?
It wasn't free people. It was the because like
the nomads or some part of Isildur that's not very mapped or populated, right?
Oh yeah, there's other areas that are a little bit more nomadic people and everything, and it's also a lot of wilderness and very dangerous mountains that kind of the Utaspire Mountains really keep people from being able to move past in droves because the Utaspire Mountains are so dangerous, essentially.
You build a village and everything goes to fuck.
Cowards.
And the elven...
Jesus!
Thanks, Danny.
Are you okay?
Be careful in the duct! Okay.
God.
The elven ruins that we walked through on Ruidus, what those would have come from the Shattered Teeth. Am I remembering the lore right, Danny? That the Shattered Teeth happened
Don't
because they
back up.
Grabbed a bitch, big glemmy of earth.
Yeah.
And...
No? Hang on. Ruidus happened.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. You said Shattered Teeth.
Is that where it got plucked?
No.
Where did they get the mud ball?
Shattered Teeth, y'all don't know where Ruidus was created out of.
Hasn't it been sort of intimated, hinted that it was from the Shattered Teeth area?
Not that I know of. The Shattered Teeth was created because of Dominus.
Calamity lore and getting it mixed up with Ruidus?
Yes.
We're getting our calamity... Our peanut
you get
butter.
My calamity and you ruin it.
You're right.
But we have no idea where Ruidus was pulled up.
No, you do not know that yet.
So there were elven
Could he found elven architecture, underground, and like really old elven architecture. Like, oh, this is proto-elven architecture.
That had a gate or something to that led to Isilra. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's connected to Luda's past.
Luda,
because he's so dang old.
Yeah, but Ruidus was even before Ruidus was created even before Ludinus. I'm not saying that that's not possible.
Yeah,
A little bit less likely.
Ruidus, Ludinus. Yeah. They rhyme.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ruludinous.
Ruidus Ligbot.
I'm just trying to think of where we know that there's old elven stuff, and there's where is it in Wildemount?
There's so much undiscovered. Right. Like,
near
Caduceus's
backyard, right?
Well, yes, but
Caduceus also rhymes.
On Caduceus's. I have quiet lore that I have never really gotten into about where all of that.
This is the place to do it. We're on Foresight of Dive.
I'm holding it because that's when I ever get to go back and like.
Just drop us a hint.
Of course, you have quiet lore. Hit us with some.
Well, the source of the power for the three families for the dust, stone, and clay is all from some champion from the Calamity who. Was for some reason, although I have theories and I'm hoping to play it out one day, was very helpful, was a great hero, but we do not speak of him. His name has been erased and he could not be buried in any city. They wanted him just fucking gone.
Grog traveled.
So, yeah, it was just like, thank you, gone. Like, never be spoken of again, whatever, like, whoever they are. I have theories. Okay. I have a thing I want to play out, but like...
Is this a thing that you invented or that Matt invented?
Oh, I invented.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I confess something?
Yes.
I'm a little sad, a little disappointed.
Disappointed?
That we made it all the way through that village with livestock and we had no bloody buffalo steak.
Oh.
We did get a stampede.
We got a stampede. I ate the shit out of something.
We don't know how they feel about those livestock. The people
care.
On the farm.
I just want to eat some buffalo ass.
Well, what do you mean feel about them? We know that they keep them as beasts of
there's
burden.
Some places, yes.
Oh, could.
Oh, you mean like burden, but never no eat. We don't know if that would be like a. What are you doing to our beloved animals?
I'm sure. Once we get to the big city, we can go to a Taste of Tal'Dorei and figure out what's in the burger.
Are there restaurants on the moon?
I want to know. This is why I want to keep. I don't want to go home yet. I haven't gotten to eat anything yet.
Is there a Taco Bell on the moon?
We just had good berries, which is like a handful of shit you can eat at home.
That was imported.
I went to McDonald's in Japan.
Elven fruit.
Yeah, oh, God, sorry, yeah. No, this is why we're not leaving yet.
It's true.
Thank you.
We could have left, but we went back.
We also almost got murdered when we went home, but that's fine.
So, should we discuss Spooky Town? Should we discuss our beep boop?
Spooky Town.
Spooky Town, USA?
I think the doll is haunted. That's the one thing I'll say.
It's a total left turn. Do you want to hear about what my backup character has always been for Orym?
Why would you bring that up?
No, let's move on.
I don't want him to die, though. I really am enjoying...
If you bring him up, you're definitely going to... Let's hear it. Death flagging it.
Let's hear it.
He's an astronaut. What? For the Grim Verity.
Oh, you fuck right off.
He's an astronaut for the Grim Verity.
That's hot.
What does that mean?
It means he's a dwarven artificer.
Uh-huh.
And he's got the power suit. He's got an Iron Man suit.
Uh-huh.
And there's a spell of air breathing that makes a bubble around his head. So he's an astronaut.
But where does he go?
He's already there. He's there. He got there ahead of everybody.
Is he doing like mesosphere exploration off of Ruidus? Like trying to touch the lattice work?
I don't know if he's undercover.
Oh, okay.
Or because it can breathe here. So the bubble was just, it's not even necessary.
I love this guy.
Maybe he can go up past the...
How long does air breathing last? I can't remember. Does he have a cyanide pill in case it goes all wrong?
I think he just stops concentrating on the spell.
Do you have a name for this guy?
No, but that has been my backup character. I have no idea why I'm bringing it up.
A dwarven astronaut.
Yep.
Dang. Buzz Pauldron.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That's pretty good.
Just spitballing. Just fucking spitballing.
Wow. Good.
All right, let's move on.
That's a huge
one. Don't kill my halfling.
Do you have a backup character?
Of course I have a backup character.
You have a backup character?
He's not any good.
You are going to die out of the chances of you dying in 100 games is high, and you do not have a backup
character. There's no chance that Chetney dies.
I don't think Chetney dies either. You know why? Because I think Matt forgets about Chetney. because I think like Matt is like, he's cosmically drawn to drama and to depth and to substance. Character and substance and emotion. So he's focused in on Laudan. He's focused in on Imogen, a little Fern, a little Aurum, a little Ashton. And then he's like, oh yeah, there's this fucker over here. I don't really care about him.
We just had a Foresight of Dive episode where we talked with Matt about how Chetney is the heart of Bell's Cells.
The heart of Bell's Cells?
100%.
I mean, he's very player. Diplomatic, Danny.
I'm the best character. I'm the best
character. I'm the game. I just want to point
that
out.
Without me.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that old son of a bitch. I think there's
son.
I think there's no chance Chetney dies. I would say there's a strong chance that can we do a quick Deadpool?
Sure, I'm into it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
I think Freshcut Grass could die.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think Laudna could die again.
Yes.
I think Aurum could die.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's gotten close, especially with the bait and switches and when shit gets a little too close.
Well, that's my whole
it's
thing.
So good. It's so good. You're such a good and team you're, player and like, to your own detriment.
You hold together pretty well. It's just the hit points are really the only thing.
You know, for the longest time, I was like, oh, it'd be cool. Because I mapped out branches of things I could do at all my levels like a year ago. I have a doc on my phone. Where I'm like, all right, we're at this level. What did I put down for notes? Great, already done.
Wow.
And I always like tough, and Travis has always loved tough.
Yeah.
It's so good, but I'm like, he's so little. It doesn't make any sense.
I applaud this decision.
But then we got to the Nanamori stuff, and Aura made his offer, and then I was talking to Matt, and I was like, I know what I want to do. I'm going to take the Fey touched feet. And so that I can Misty step around and I'm going to do a little like a druidic hexing on my enemies for upping my damage. And he's like, oh, I'm just going to give you that for your deal.
Oh.
And I went, oh, now I can take tough.
So you did take tough.
I did take tough because I got a freebie for the move.
Tough's amazing.
Because I wanted that Misty step thing.
Fate touch?
Fate touch.
Yeah, did you?
I did. That was
just now?
Just now.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Oh,
maybe I should take Fey Touch too.
Are we all just
we can all touch tips?
Let's do it.
What did you take? Did you just take ability score?
I didn't have anything on this one. I think I got one extra I got a bump up for wolf stuff.
Oh yeah, there was some sort of exalted wolf thing.
Wolf stuff.
Yeah, if I'm below half my hit points every round, I get like +3 to healing just every round.
Mm. Oh right, you have a
that's
regen.
Right.
Real
yeah.
regen, yeah.
Did you reveal what your selected spell is yet? Because you get Misty Step, and then you pick a spell.
It's pretty boring. I picked Identify.
Okay.
Because,
that's great.
Because
did you already have that?
I had an attuned item.
Oh, okay.
An eye thing that could identify, but I have unattuned it, and I have attuned that staff that makes us teleport around.
It's almost obsolete.
So I didn't have Identify anymore. I wanted Identify again, so I got it back.
We can take that little piece and throw it in the funnel and turn it into something cool.
You could. You certainly could.
Any magic item you don't need anymore, we can now recycle.
You'd waste it because it's only 24 hours.
Isn't there a way to
person?
Yeah, have person has to be permanent.
Yeah.
What
or a creature?
What things did you take, Taliesin?
I love feats. I took.
Feet fetish
in your wiki. I do. It's a very serious feet fetish. I go to a website to look at all the. Well, yeah. Anyway, I took Great Weapon Master.
Yeah, baby.
What
classic.
Does that do? What does
it
that
means
do?
That I can reroll ones or twos on my damage dice.
Oh wow.
So not forever, but like first run if I have any ones. And so for a barbarian, that's just fucking great.
That
just ups the damage.
It changes based on the barbarian class you're in, right? Because for Grog, it was like you could add 10 points of damage, but you had to -5 the roll.
That's a different thing.
Oh no, because you
reckless,
had a.
Isn't it?
That's reckless.
No, reckless no? means you can get advantage, but your enemy gets.
That's a. Yeah, I took a fighting style. Or it's. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I took a fighter's fighting style. So it's just as long as you have a two-handed weapon, it's a two-handed weapon, you reroll ones and twos.
What's
and
two crazy six. Right now is that I have slightly more hit points than you.
What?
Because the reason
set my arm on fire.
I allowed toughness for myself is because of this deal. I'm seeing that he's also probably got like little tiny tendrils of vines running through his fucking veins right now.
Person
making him a little. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I know you had Hex as well. What did that
come
from?
That was early on. Yeah, that was just for a manifestation
a
of the
story.
Yeah, I don't even think it was a freebie. I think I bought it because I was like, that makes sense.
How much it cost?
It was a feat, if I recall. Yeah, nothing.
Okay.
But yeah, tough was great.
Tough is good. I think Scanlan took tough.
It's so exciting.
It is.
Having a lot of hit points.
Didn't help Molly.
Out.
Damn.
Whoa.
Damn, Danny.
Fucking brutal.
The reaches.
Pew. From the top rope.
That's a really mean thing to say about Ashley Burch. That's all I'm saying.
I would never.
We were about to delve into Spooky Town.
Yes.
This little jaunt that we took into Spooky Town. It was not very fruitful. Except for the fact that we found a portal that will save our lives.
And perhaps bring in allies behind us without having to.
But other than that, that place sucks.
Yeah, it really sucks. A lot.
I mean, did no one else understand how that Scooby-Doo shit was going to end? Because, Ashton was sitting there going, I just want to sleep. And we have decided to go to the one place where sleep will definitely not happen. This is literally the town of Sleep No More.
Yeah, I mean, I started going, the safest thing is just to stay in this little cave, but then as soon as we saw the town, knowing where it was going, I just kind of wanted to go there.
No, I get it.
I just wanted to go to the Haunted Mansion.
It could have been real bad, though. Like, all of us were spoopied, and it was up to Fern, Imogen, and
the three. Because Matt said he rolled for all of us without us knowing, and we genuinely failed,
and
theirs saved.
Imogen had no spells. And Fern just kind of wanted to see what would happen if we died.
Rode the boat and Ropey underwater.
Oh yeah, Bodhi and Ropey.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Oh my
Marisha
God.
And Matt making some of the most creative choices.
If we don't get art out of that, I'll just be disappointed. Bodhi and
Ropey. I was never worried. Those three women are three of the greatest women in the world. I knew that they would.
I was a little worried about it because the chances of me rolling my way out of that was very low.
Yeah, because of your poor charisma.
-2 points.
What's coming for you, baby?
You were down there.
You were trapped,
but you were also getting caught up.
But I knew in my head that I had Misty Step, and that as soon as I was ready to ripcord out, I would just do that.
I would have kept trying to fight my way back there, and I would have beaten the living fuck out of you.
Because you made an evil pact, that's why you got Misty Stepped? What do you have to do in your deal?
Yeah, what is the evil? We know the pact.
Yeah, nobody knows it yet.
We know it because we were there sitting.
Right, you were sitting at the table. It was give me extra juice so that I can keep all of these people safe so that we can achieve our goal.
And once that goal is achieved,
then I will serve you.
That seems like a crazy, terrible deal.
It does, except
you are an Ashari sworn to protect the people. You have a title now.
Yeah.
You're gonna give it all up and go move to this weirdo's house in the Fey Realm?
We're not going to summer camp. We are going up against a massive alien power that Orym believes is going to cause scores, untold loss of life.
But on a practical
forget about what Liam thinks. Orym thinks that any of their chances are ridiculously low to survive it. So for him, it's just a win because they are going with Orym's goal. He's not on a revenge quest. He's not like, oh, you took my family, so I'm gonna stab you. He's trying to shield the whole planet. He's trying to do his father and husband proud. He's trying to do Keyleth proud. He's trying to do his job, which is to be a protector. But he's trying to do it for the blue, The new hope.
This is why there's no therapy class of cleric.
He's using himself as the wager.
Oh. Yeah, we're also. Yeah.
See, he doesn't think that she's never going to collect because the chances of him making it through. Now, I know that this is a D&D game, and if you play well within the rules, you can make crazy things happen, but he doesn't know that. He's a little guy in the world doing the thing.
Fey gods
he thinks
never
he's not
call
coming,
to collect.
Coming back
that is true. They're well known for never, ever.
It's very sweet, Liam. and stupid.
I'm excited.
Very stupid.
Gave up your future for Misty Step.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Hey guys, it's time for a question from the Tower. Oh, it's built. The Tower of Inquiry. It's been 84 years since we last pulled a block from the tower. So here's a refresher of how it works. One of us pulls a block, reveals the number inscribed upon it, and our lovely lore keeper, Danny, will pop out and read us the corresponding question. Oh, there she is. And if for whatever reason the tower should fall, the person responsible for its demise will have embarrassing, and some would say humorous, consequences. Let's start with you, Taliesin.
Yeah.
Let's get on over there and pull some wood.
Yay, yes. Tally!
Wood.
Yank that. What's going over there, then?
Wood.
Got this.
Yeah.
Yank that wood.
Correct that whip.
Bow-now-now-now-now.
Soup-a-doop-a-doop.
I'm going to step on a crack.
When's the last time this thing fell?
A minute.
84 years. No, 2023, for sure.
Mm. Oh, wow.
What'd you get?
I got 44.
44. Cool. Pause real fast. This is not working. You're fine.
Wait, pause as in like we're stopping the shoot?
Hey, Max Shapiro, give me a second. Cut around this.
No, I don't think we should cut. This is what the people want.
Okay,
they
want to
see how the sausage is made.
The spreadsheet
while you find the spreadsheet, we're going to get texts from Marisha.
Okay, cool. I'm going to find the spreadsheet of inquiry because I'm not signed in or anything. It's all messed up.
She's telling us about... She's telling us about her evening, and
it is
not going well.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's going super good for us.
Wow.
That is amazing.
She's getting...
Oh, yeah.
What can we share? We can't share anything about
this. It is like we are in Zephyra, and we have sent Marisha to Ruidus. She is crawling.
We cannot reply to this message.
No, we can't actually describe any of it for fear of giving away.
Guys, imagine that Marisha's having a bad night, and we're laughing at her.
She apparently looks terrible.
While Danny's trying to figure out,
I'm so mad at you for making me. This is taking forever. I'm so sorry, guys.
No, we just. Oh, do you see what just showed up?
Oh, she sent a video.
There's video.
This is great content.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope.
You're kidding.
Wait, I gotta watch this, guys. This is a good episode.
While this happens.
Nice. Okay.
Here, I'll ask you a question. Imogen and Fern are connected. Now on Ruidus, they can share things. They can share magic. Do you think that's a good thing, a dangerous thing? What do you think about that? While I look at this video.
Oh, personally, I think that's I love things like that because it's a little you give and take, and I'm excited to see how it backfires horribly, as everything we've done on the moon has backfired horribly.
I like the network thing. I know that it was part of the contention between Orym and Imogen in that one game. But for me, Liam above table, I love how dangerous it is and how she's in it. It's like The Departed, right? She has to get as close as she can and be right there in it in order to come out on top. But she has to like risk
it
all.
They seem like they need her though for something. Like, why do they need her? And she's going to get so close. Maybe she's going to give them exactly what they need.
Maybe also she's going to give them exactly what they don't need.
That guy exalted, but he didn't blow up a city block.
Yeah.
Remember that teenager exalted?
Yeah.
And but when Imogen exalted, it was like a whole.
Because she's the chosen one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know for sure. She could be the one. My vibe on it is she's like one of the 10. Like there are some really heavy, but she could be the one.
Omega level mutant.
Like because Odahan is one of the heavy hitters.
The dark.
And her mother is one X-Men of the heavy hitters.
Aludinus is not.
No.
But yeah, you might be right. If they need like the three or four or six.
I think it's more want than need. That's my feeling.
Yeah.
I think it's more. You know, we want all the X-Men. We don't. You know, we want Magneto. We want Xavier. We want all the big. But like. If we don't get Apocalypse, we're fine.
Could we do it without Wolverine? Sure. Probably, but why wouldn't we want Wolverine?
I have one play to win the whole game.
What is it?
Just the next time that Imogen is around her mom, I shank her mom, and then I look at Imogen and I'm like, let go. And she's like, and we all die, cut to black, Finn.
You turn her into a nuke?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I like it.
We can save my mom.
I mean,
not anymore, Finn.
I have thought about killing Imogen.
What?
Well, just because if she's the thing they need, Why were you?
You mean in the way that Orms got Batman scenarios
just kill
for all
her
of us?
And leave her. Then we've won.
By the way, I want to know the Batman
Orm
scenarios.
Orm has Batman maneuvers. I don't have any maneuvers for any motherfuckers.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I want to know Orm's Batman maneuvers now. I don't have them. You don't have the takeout
list? I did that
list?
With Caleb. I spent too much time on it, and I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah. Too many spreadsheets?
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to sit down and figure out how to kill you all. This is exciting.
We should get back to the block. Danny, it was number 44. What do we got?
I got it. Everything's fine now. Hey, guys.
Hey, Danny.
Spooky Dookie on Twitter wants to know, what moment in any campaign has scared you the most?
Scared. Creepy baby with the little light. With the little, yeah, anglerfish. That was pretty fucking.
In Aeor and Mighty Nein.
That fucked me up.
Yeah. The first jump scare Matt did where he like reached out over the DM screen, I didn't need that kind of proximity alert. Anything coming towards me triggers a natural response.
Yeah.
I don't know about horror. Like, I was scared to death handing over the beacon, but that's a different kind of scare.
No, that's, yeah.
That was tightrope walking. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, similarly, when I was Scanlan with the Triceratops house, that was just that was just a scary hour of my life.
Yeah,
that was wasn't horror.
You were just pulling out all the stops. Absolutely incredible.
Oh, boy.
You know what? I was legitimately scared drinking blood. Drowning and then facing a god for like we've been doing this for many years now, but like that was the first moment like that, and I was like, well, I was a bug on a windshield.
Yeah, all those moments where it's just you and Matt, and you're in a place where the rules don't make any sense anymore. No one's there to help you, and he's just like, what are you gonna do? Yeah. Those are the scariest.
Like all of the Yasha moments where it's like you're in a storm.
Oh my god!
And what do you do?
Poor Ashley.
Yeah, and they're finding it together. Yes. That is wild.
I'm actually, if I may compliment your wife, I'm impressed. She's had a lot of those moments this campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's locked in a dream. She's being told, what looks to me like the DM is telling her, just let it happen. Just let go. Just let yourself join us. And every time when I would have 100% said, yeah, I let go. I'm in. She has always said, nope, I'm not. I'm going to resist again and again and again. She's so strong. I could never do it.
I hate it.
I love it.
I despise it. Every day when we drive home, I'm like, give in! We are still here! She's too stubborn! Give in!
She's amazing.
What we know about Laura and Marisha specifically is ain't nobody can tell them shit.
True.
They're gonna do what they fucking wanna do.
Except for tonight, because Marisha was peer pressured to do
that's
something.
That's right. Well, it was 4-on-1. That was a little different.
Speaking of peer pressure, why don't I pressure you to go get a block and get a question?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Here comes
look at that jacket.
What a great jacket.
It's a
available
great coat.
Shop.critroll.com.
Laura didn't let me see it until she showed it at the table.
Yeah,
to surprise
she goes
me.
To us. I don't see anything ever.
It's her form of gift giving.
Sweet doll.
There's so many amazing folks in Sierra.
What are you doing, extra block?
Oh boy.
Hey, bonus
this
block.
This might be a problem.
What if it falls?
Then
can I take two questions?
Oh.
I have to slide it back in?
I think you have to put it back.
What does this mean?
What does this mean?
I don't.
Judges? Kyle? Did he just lose?
Pick both of them. I don't care.
Two questions. Why not? Love it. Kyle ruled.
Yep. Oh, it's almost 69. 59.
Ooh.
5 and 9.
Less interesting.
Slightly less interesting night.
From Awesome by Jenna.
Can I interest you in a 59?
What is a characteristic or skill that your character really admires about another member of Bell's Hells?
A skill that another member has?
Or characteristic.
Or characteristic.
Characteristic.
Ooh.
I don't really admire anybody.
You're a liar.
You're all just fucking sub characters.
I think
I admire how bad of a liar Chutney is. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think that Fresh Cut Grass admires Fern's joie de vivre and also carpe diem-esque sort of chutzpah. She just goes for it. She has an idea and she just does it without thinking, without stressing.
I shouldn't say aware of everybody's damage. I'm trying to think. That's because he's. That's all he's interested in.
Chetney admires Fern's, I would say, blissful naivete, or at least the portrayal of it, right? The ability to stay so like joyful and optimistic in what has been a pretty busted ass upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She should be way more.
Even if it's a defense mechanism.
Up.
Yeah.
It's damage.
Orm 30 admires, minute check. How clever Imogen is.
Clever. Mm. And there was a second question, right?
Yep. Oh, shit. Has seeing the campaign one characters through the lens of your current characters affected how you view / feel about them? From Mamala 1021.
Mamala.
Hmm. Thank you, Mamala.
How we feel about our own campaign one characters through the eyes of, say, Orym looking at Vax or the like?
Yes. Yeah. She hasn't said anything else.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting to know that they still have that some of them anyway, still have such a vast effect on the world. It's nice to know that they matter.
You haven't met any of your
Scanlan,
doppelgangers.
Grog don't matter.
Too big for this world.
Yep. They probably died together.
They're not dead.
They could have died together in a brothel somewhere.
No.
100%.
They pissed off the wrong guy. That's it.
I bet we meet Grog at the center of Ruidus.
He's Predathos?
Yeah, he's like holding open the mouth. He's like, I've been fucking waiting for somebody to get here. That's why it hasn't all come crashing down.
Yeah, and I haven't seen Not/Veth either.
Mm-mm.
But you've seen Percy.
I've seen Percy.
No Caduce.
And I made a point of talking to Percy, so. Yes. And
we just met Jester.
Just met Jester.
Well, sort of met. We heard from Jester.
Yeah.
Which was adorable.
Actually, only Imogen heard from Jester.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, not necessarily from Orym's eyes, but everybody's eyes and the way that Matt's used Vax, like, he's really taken on sort of the same kind of position or weight or intricacy as, like, Pervon. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was such an important mythical figure, and I don't know, I couldn't anticipate the ways that, you know, at the end of campaign one, the way that Matt was going to be using him the way he is now.
The flow through makes sense to me. I don't know how you feel like going, and I feel that about every character
it.
He's done, so, like, yeah. Percy, I'm like, yep, that's exactly who he became, to a T. And same with, I love Caleb and Bo. And his Keyleth is disturbingly point on.
That's true.
If we are dead.
Oh,
if
no.
If we are, if we're that dead. Would be fine.
What if we're, what?
This is the real ending of Lost I've been waiting for.
Boy, I guess that would be a little sad if Scanlan and Grog were dead. Would it?
Yeah, that's big. That would be big. We can't
be
dead.
We would have met. Someone would have mentioned that they're.
What are Goliaths?
We got the champion of the matron on our side.
Lifespans.
Super long.
8 to 10 years minimum.
Yeah.
I don't know. 5 to 12.
I mean, Scanlan's famous. The world would know if Scanlan. Like, dead pirates knew about Scanlan.
Yeah,
that's true.
So the world would know if Bono
like Elvis.
Was dead, right? Yeah, if Elvis was dead.
Bono could be like dead,
Grog's a legend too. I mean,
he does host a Breakfast of Champions tournament every year.
Hear me out here.
Okay.
You made the point about Scanlan being Elvis. What if Scanlan might be dead?
Oh, he
but there's a conspiracy theory.
Fakes his own death just to sort of make himself more legendary?
Yes.
Fake death on the shitter.
Or you spiced yourself to death on the shitter. For real.
That could actually happen.
I like that.
Oh, man. All right, one more pull from the tower.
Yeah, I could never get enough.
This one's going to be Travis. I'm going to change it up. Travis and me. We're gonna both pull together at the same time.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Different bricks or
different
same bricks.
Bricks.
All right.
Different bricks.
Are you gonna do it like Lady and the Tramp?
I don't know how this works.
We gotta do it at the same time. At the
same time. It's one hand, right? That's the rule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go.
You're going after right one here. Brick together.
Nope. Different bricks.
Two bricks.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh God.
Oh, we got it.
You know you can. Well, no, never mind. I'm not helping.
Oh my god.
Oh, I didn't put,
what's,
I
gotta put it on the number?
Top. I 40. Put it on the bar.
And 22.
Woo! Okay, I noticed that.
Maybe
you did
put
that.
My bricks on top.
I was.
that was fun to watch.
That I had to get an actual reach tower. Around on that one.
You almost wrecked.
That would have been so much fun soon.
All right. Guy in tie-dye on Instagram wants to know, living in a fantasy world where flying ships and giant monsters are common, what kind of level of magic would be impressive to your character? Is there anything your character thinks is impossible?
Ooh, time travel.
Yep. Bell's Hell's characters? Yeah, time travel. We haven't seen like gross exertion of physical distortion. So like reversing gravity, we haven't seen.
That's true.
Making the sun disappear.
I think it's pretty impressive that Laudna can give life to objects. I think Fresh Cut Grass would be, is pretty impressed with that.
It's kind of how we met.
Yeah, but giving life or revivify, I mean like resurrecting somebody?
I think it's more.
I didn't hear the question because I was reading Marisha's text. I'm trying to reverse engineer what the question is.
Living in such a crazy fantasy world where there's so much power on display at different parts of the world, is there anything that would blow your characters' minds in terms of?
Technology is kind of interesting because it's magic that people who don't have magic can do. That was always kind of the, like, just like, what do you mean I don't actually have to go to school to do this? I can just hit a button. I can you made a thing. I can hit a button, and now I'm teleporting. That's crazy. I want that.
It sounds like Marisha's having a fun time.
No.
It sounds like she's having a blast. Marisha, if you're watching right now,
she's not.
This says there is no booze. I'm gonna die.
All right, I guess I missed
just
that one.
Outed.
I think that if the moon split in half and Captain Lou Albano came roaring out of it, I'd be pretty impressed.
Sure.
That seems pretty big.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by a portal from the moon to outer a space. Lake.
Yeah, there's some pretty impressive
deep outer
stuff.
Space would be fucking crazy to me. I don't know if I could handle leaving the solar system.
Oh my god. Danny, was there a second question?
There was. Chetney, it's from Lux.
Personally wants to Lux? God. Okay.
Lux asks, how would your character react to being dropped in New Fair? A little bit of Candela in there.
Whoa.
Oh.
Right?
Ashton would be so fucking into that.
I bet he would.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would.
That'd be great. Percy would be into that.
Chetney would be crushing
it. Would be like going home.
Mm-hmm.
A fine bit. Wood production. Chetney would be rich as a bitch.
Caduceus would be freaking the fuck out. Mm. Yeah, Chetney would be Chetney.
Rebelling against the Industrial Revolution. He would probably also have a side hustle with Scarlet, I'm just saying.
I mean,
as a Scarlet distributor.
Yeah.
I don't know that Orm would care for it. No, Orm would not care for it.
No. It's too.
There's not enough trees.
Yeah.
I guess he could leave New Fair, but there's an ice age happening outside of New Fair, so.
That's true.
I think Caleb would not enjoy it necessarily, but adapt.
He'd fit in. He'd find
things.
He'd
be working
things.
For like eons or something.
Yeah.
I feel like Candela would be trying to find Chetney, frankly.
Molly would hate it.
Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
Molly would figure out something to do, but it wouldn't be fun.
You'd just be in a cage in the fourth pharaoh.
Please don't! It's only every full moon!
Thank you, Spooky Dookie, Awesome by Jenna, Guy and Tie-Dye, Lux, and Mama Law 1021. And if you have an evergreen fan question, or not evergreen question for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower. We're not going to commercial.
Nope.
There's no commercials on this show. We just keep going.
Oh, I love it. Unless
we're going in to the next section. It's time for the deep dive. Danny, could you please serve us some tankard questions.
Oh, snap.
And do it with some extra bits.
These are the smart questions that we could not think of in the moment.
Yes. She is alive. She is alive stumbling over here.
Did you see Solid Snake up on the ceiling?
I usually check because sometimes there is shit up there.
There is sometimes shit up there.
God.
Here you go.
Thank you.
I'm not kidding.
Thank you.
Once I saw Santa Claus up there, it was really disconcerting.
It was really scary.
I didn't like that.
That one is yours.
Thank you.
This one is yours.
Ah, thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, let's start with you, Taliesin.
All right.
Draw something from.
I keep forgetting to put those cones out for the stairs. That's my fault.
It's too scary. All right, ask away and answer, please.
Yeah, cones make me nervous, thank you. What is it like for Ashton to have a form where they don't feel chronic pain?
Good?
I think he likes
the pain?
No, it's a very particular, the lack of pain is just a reminder that it's going to be back in 55 minutes. And having it gone makes it, I think they kind of ignore it when it's the baseline buzz. If you have, you know what I mean. Where if you're not thinking about it, it's just part of life. It just becomes part of life and you walk through it. Mm. It's the second it goes away and then comes back and then suddenly it's just like day one again. Oof. So just knowing that the inevitable crash is happening and that it's going to be worse because it comes back tripled.
That's right. So
I woke up and just fucking not, just dig that out. And like, fine. Fine, let's fucking do that. And
And like, is it on some level, you've been one way for years and years and years and years, and suddenly you're not the you you've been.
Oh, I mean.
The same way you've been.
He's always been, it's the running gag. He's always been fractured and like, is not big on personal identity. I mean, like, it's just such a mess anyway that, you know, he's got so few expectations of the world. So just like the expectation of now somehow this great thing has made it worse is really perfectly fine. It's a little better but there was no distraction in any of that. It's better when there's a distraction. If there's he doesn't really feel pain when raging either. Hmm. Like the fighting really just drowns all that out.
That's cool.
That's why he's not angry when he fights. He is, I don't.
Very gentlemanly when you're.
It's happy rage. Oh,
it is. It's like, if it were up to me, I wouldn't call it rage. I call it passion, because it's very much the, fuck yes, I need this,
You should just rebrand it.
Yeah, I should rebrand it.
I would like a mosh.
Yeah, it's a mosh. It's very much the, finding joy in that, so. Yeah.
Travis,
is it me?
Yeah. Went too long.
Let's do a werewolf question.
Yes,
there it is.
Travis, what does it feel like carrying the entire campaign on your back?
Wow.
Great question. It is a noble but necessary responsibility.
You're putting words in my questions.
What?
Are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was upside
changing
down.
Changing questions.
Chetney made a bargain with Nana Mori. What was that experience like for you as a player? And why did Chetney change his mind about regaining his youth? Well, I started to think, wouldn't it be funny if I could get a, 200-year younger Chetney. But that didn't feel very on brand. And I also didn't know what was going to be in the on the other side of the deal. I don't know why I just picked like the world's greatest toy maker. I tried to make something that would be as mummy's paw as possible for Matt to like tie into knots. And the feat he gave me is kind of interesting. It doesn't seem super devious at this point, so it's kind of fun. But also, when you're around a hag or a witch or whatever she is, Fate Stitcher.
Someone's got to pull that rope.
You gotta get in there. Make a deal.
I hope we go back.
Yeah.
I want to
get
ask.
You one.
I feel like an idiot anytime. Yeah. I feel like an idiot anytime I don't pull a thread that's put in front of me.
Yeah.
Except when I pull the wrong thread.
Or with the Arashari. Go ahead and.
I already pulled it, pre-pulled it, and it goes well with Travis's. Orym secretly made a fey deal with Nana Mori for everyone's safety in exchange for serving her. Why did he make this bargain, and why did he word it the way he did? Does he hope to get out of the deal somehow? Why has he not told Fern? I don't think he's really keeping it. He hasn't brought it up yet, but it's also going to show itself. And it's not a, I don't want anyone to know. He's just... They'll get to it when they get to it. I went through why I think he did it. Liam did it because I was scared of it, and I like to do things that I'm scared of at the table. And I wanted to shake things up. I also, I love this fighter, but yeah, I miss all the bells and whistles of casting. And whenever we get magic items, it's always good shit for everybody. Like, nothing makes sense for me, and I'm never giving up the sword I have, and I'm never giving up the shield I have.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I get some new toys? Extra. Some new toys to play with. That was part of it. But it was really the story element of it. He worded it the way he did because he thinks that it is, if all of them make it back and he has to serve, cool. But you know, story-wise, forget about a game of Dungeons and Dragons, but story-wise, it is highly unlikely that all of them are going to survive. So he's getting...
So you're betting on failure.
Mixed success.
He has given himself a little more aid to help achieve the impossible for what is like a very dangerous scenario. Then if they all survive, like, Liam, I would love to find a way out of it, and I tried to keep it. One of us could be wounded or scarred, or something could be different. I don't know, but I'll go. It's also Fern's grandmother. I mean, I know she's creepy and scary, but
I encourage you just to be honest and say that you've got the hots for Nana Mori.
Oh,
just the bottom.
Just the yeah. You want to
because she's
you want to feed the bottom mouth
because the bottom's great. Closer to me.
Yeah.
FCG had an interaction with a bird that was, while antagonistic, productive. How has his bird, how is his current bird phobia? Does FCG feel more comfortable around birds now that Shithead is dead? Well, that's the thing. Is Shithead dead? We haven't seen
the real
Shithead.
Question.
I don't think that FCG can sleep peacefully ever. Those
ever
birds...
Again. Mm.
Those birds just—they're too. Yeah, if you're something traumatic. If you're in a car crash, do you ever drive in a car again? I guess you do.
I guess you have. But you can't walk out under the sky without an eye
looking
on
for
the heavens.
A car.
Yeah.
Shithead is dead, baby.
Oh.
Shithead is dead.
I left one analogy.
I think also birds are just so creepy. They don't.
To FCG or you?
Maybe to me too.
Really?
Yeah,
they yell
a lot.
Do sparrows yell
a
lot?
Like those kind
of
things?
Yeah, yeah.
Penguins don't yell.
They don't have hands.
What about?
They don't have mouths.
They have mouths?
I mean, they don't have lips.
Oh, like beaks. You mean.
That would be worse. If they had lips, that would be worse. Let's be honest.
I love to smile. They can't smile.
They smile with their eyes.
Have you ever been attacked by a bird? Did you ever get like a dive bombing?
I have.
What?
In Iceland, there's birds. I think they're called Kriya birds or Kriya bird, Kriya birds. And they dive bomb you from the sky if you're near their nesting grounds or whatever. They will dive bomb and peck you in the head.
Magpies.
So yeah, exactly. So you have to carry a stick above your head.
Were you trying to steal their eggs?
Or like an umbrella.
So they think that's your head,
the highest point? They will go to the highest point. Whoa. So you walk around the fields and they will peck the stick.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're trying to send the lightning there instead of your
head. I would totally try and catch one of them bitches.
I bet you would. Tell us the next question.
Yeah.
This is the medium speed round.
Medium speed.
Flying so quiet.
How did Ashen feel about being the only Bell's Hells member to fail one of Nanomori's therapy challenges?
Dang! Mm. Called out!
Called out by the paper.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Ashton's been feeling kind of shitty for a while, and I'm finally at the, I mean, that was definitely a long step of like, fuck. And now, finally, I think the ghost town was finally like, I am sick of being the one, because all of you are fucking up, and I'm shutting the fuck up about it, and I'm tired of shutting the fuck up about how you are all fuckwits.
Wow.
So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that. There's that passion.
Yeah, no, it's...
Travis Willingham.
Yes, that's what that came from.
Yeah. Clearly, Chetney's Fae bargain with Nana influenced his ability to make toys. What can you tell us about his new masterpiece ability?
Please.
If I spend an hour making a masterpiece, it imbues the toy with not only my essence of glory, manhood, and stank, but... whoever finds the toy, or if I hand it to them, they become entranced for 1d6 minutes.
Because it's such a wonderful
so
toy.
Fucking awesome.
Entranced by the object or by you, the maker?
By the toy.
So you can hand a toy to anyone.
Anybody.
Like
or I
give
could
it
leave
to Ludinus.
I could leave it outside of a gate, and if a guard picks it up and is like, what's this?
Whoa, that's a super powerful. There's no save.
I can't tell you everything.
You could throw like a wooden.
Can one save against
you could
against
throw a
death?
Dreidel at Ludinus and have him be hypnotized for 6 minutes.
This is just like the one I had when I was 111.
Wow.
Rose be making some fucking dope rocking horses.
Yes.
This is how I felt about Castle Grayskull.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
Look at it.
You were very happy.
Liam.
Okay. All right. Pre-pulled.
Pre-pulled.
Aurum has kept up his pressure on the group, and especially Imogen, in order to see this through. What is it like for him to be a soldier facing his family's murderers, and also a man trying to protect his new loved ones?
Wow, hire that person. That
good
writing.
Good stuff. I think that Aurum is, I accidentally answered some of this earlier.
How dare you?
I think that he feels like this is a world ender, that, or at least, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people are gonna die. And he's gonna go to the end on his own if he has to. He really doesn't want to, he's scared. And he's got this bunch of weirdos who accidentally, magically, happily, luckily, are amazing in their very strange ways, and he doesn't want to lose a single one of them. And he knows that they're on what is potentially a lethal mission. He doesn't want to lose any of them, especially her, because she is powerful, intelligent. He still thinks a leader, and he just doesn't want to go it alone. I felt like there was another bit in my head, and I lost it.
That actually ties in nicely to what Marisha just texted us.
Oh, yeah.
She, even though she's at a place she doesn't necessarily want to be with no alcohol, she has found a group of like-minded people, and she's hanging out with them right now.
Somebody had a flask.
Probably. Yeah. And she's okay. She's okay. Yeah. She found a group of weirdos to hang out with.
I remember the last little bit of nuance.
Yep.
Which is that everybody, Aurum included, they all have like personal tragedies or heartbreak, and I feel like Aurum is able to. It really isn't about. It's not a revenge story for him. It's like a much bigger picture, and while it's deeply personal because his father and his husband were everything to him, he is thinking of the bigger picture, and he's hoping. And he talked to Ashton about this. Which is like, I know that each and every one of us, except for Chetney, is fucked in the head with something or another. But yet you have to, with what's at stake, you have to be able to like spin two plates.
Mm-hmm. That's my boy.
Please tell me that Chetney is somebody's father.
Somebody's.
Somewhere.
It's gotta be.
Many bodies.
Yes.
I enjoy, well, no, you do your question. We'll come back to some shit.
Sam, though Turn Undead has been very useful, it also affects Lautna. How does FCG feel about his spell's effect on his undead friend? I think if that's the will of the Changebringer.
Oh, baby, the zealot rises.
Then maybe Lautna deserves it in a way, like if the change.
Welcome to determinism. Wow,
I love it.
If the Changebringer, she works in mysterious ways, but if she's granting this power that punishes the evil dead, and Lautna suffers that same punishment, who am I? That's the Changebringer's will.
100%. Plus, she showed up like Ringu girl in the lake on the moon.
I think fate has brought together a child of light and a child of shadow, and the two are needed together. That duality is needed to thread the needle that we're trying to thread.
For the light to snuff out the darkness?
Or the shadow to swallow the light.
Whoa. Have you ever had to roll like over a long rest where we're all sleeping, where you thought about killing any of the characters?
I don't think I've had to.
Matt never likes text roll. You and he's like, roll to save or somebody dies.
But
God, that'd be amazing.
I do recover stress points at every long rest.
You've only freaked out once, right?
Twice.
And
almost
there was
three.
There was a third time that I was talked down off of it.
Living on the
edge. But I am on the edge on ruinous right now, yeah.
Well,
I think the last game
you
where you kept giving out D6s, you were pushing
it,
right?
I think I was two or three away from breaking again. But now we've slept.
Beth.
And now we slept.
Yeah. So we're. I think I should be okay.
Side note, I think Chetney is fascinating that like we're in this big world ender of a moment, and he's this ancient little rascal who's just like, yeah, I'll be around for whatever the fuck this shit is. It seems interesting, and what else are you gonna do? And I can tear shit up.
100%. He's also been around like for several calamitous events. There was a big red dragon that went across all of Tal Dorei before the Cinder King. He was around for that and a number of things. So I think in this case, he's like, I'm actually front and center this time. I'm able to influence some stuff. It's pretty great.
It's got vibes too of sort of like an old, either like drunken sword master or someone who's like a Falstaff character who presents the appearance of an oaf but could go and kill a man. Mm-hmm. He just is like, yeah, but I like it.
Time in the clasp served me well.
All right, this is the speed round.
Yep.
You have three sentences to answer.
Okay, go.
Three sentences.
Go, yes. Jay.
Oh, well, of course. Actually, if it's three sentences, no, it's a five. How does Ashton feel about their relationship with Bell's Hells after the fallout of taking the shard? He's trying to be really patient and really prove that they've got what it takes to be helpful and be sensible, which is really hard in driving them insane. Because they shouldn't be the sensible, responsible one, and it's going against everything they hold dear, and they're going insane.
I love it.
I have a awesome telling question in my cup. I'm putting.
How does Chetney think he will be able to bring Nanamori a piece of Predathos in order to uphold his end of their deal? Oh, yeah. Is he or you worried about what might happen? He feels, I ain't worried about it, baby. I ain't sweating it one fucking bit.
Predathos is just like a mist or something.
If he's a mist, or if he's a big worm, I'm gonna cut a little chunk out and throw it in my. My cheek like a piece of chaw.
Better hope he's not the around along the way, or you're fucked.
Or I don't bring it back, and I suffer the consequences. I'm stoked on that too.
Oh my God,
you're gonna become a bush.
I'm here for it.
Go for it, Liam.
Glycerine.
You're gonna become a
1 second faster than me always. Orym attempted to reach out to Dorian, but Dorian didn't respond.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Orym later asked Imogen if she had a theory about why Dorian didn't respond. Oh. How worried is Orym about Dorian's safety? He thinks he's afraid he's dead. Yeah, Imogen's right. He could be asleep. He also could be dead. So until I know otherwise, it's going to be Schrodinger's bard in
Orym's
head. Dead
or asleep is definitely a coin toss.
I love it. Sam, throwing it back to Echoes of the Solstice Reunion live in London. Why did you decide to play as Luke instead of Veth? What was it like bringing that character in for the game?
You didn't tell anybody.
Luke.
I didn't.
Nope. I am your mother.
I was confused by your outfit.
I have my personal theories on why you did it, but I'm.
Oh, well, I'd love to hear them.
No.
It was just.
This is a troll.
But that was it.
Was it a troll?
it wasn't troll. It's just I like to. My favorite thing in the world is to break the form. Nice. I like to break the form.
Well done pulling. I've never seen anyone use banishment in that way before, and I feel like I've been playing this game. I've been playing this game since high school, and it is the second time I've watched you take a spell and like bend it like into the fifth dimension.
You're talking about against Odahan, right? Not as Luke.
No, it's Odahan.
Okay. I'll go into the
later. But y'all are in speed round, Luke, so I don't think you're going to get to it.
Oh, speed round.
I thought you pulled Luke just because, why would Veth leave?
That's been the problem with Veth through the whole second half of the campaign. She has no reason to keep adventuring.
She got changed back.
I've always hated contorting your
characters. I'm also
a
huge fan for all of us, anytime anyone does it, of taking a central character and building out their family. Yeah. It just makes the world feel like Caduceus' family, Veth and her family, Derek and Will and all the people. Like, I love the Whitestone family.
Chetney and his family tree. Oh. So is Chetney Scanlan's father? Orym's father?
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
Of course.
The one, Alpha and Omega.
Are you my uncle, my brother, both? What is it?
What do you need right now? What do you need right now?
I guess it's uncle time to pull another tower from the Tower of Pulling.
Well done.
Let's do, because it was fun, Liam and Taliesin together.
Hey.
Double pull.
Cool-ass banishment. I'm mad you didn't get to that question because it was awesome. You did so good. I'm so impressed by you.
I had nothing else to do. That was so my cool. last spell slot.
I genuinely thought one.
I know, I torture
I had a sixth level slot, okay. And I looked on the banishment spell, one. And it said, four and above, You can cast it on other people, to one other people. Oh boy.
42.
2 and 42, okay. Well, it was really cool, and I yelled, it was awesome.
It was really impressive.
It was fun.
God, it was just fun to watch. I thought you were so fucked.
Okay.
My wife and child are at an elementary school dance.
Oh,
they should also live blog
that's
it.
That's so cute.
It's so cute, and she says it's absolute hell.
Get her in the get them in the text in the text feed.
He won't stop dancing and just sweating.
Oh, he loves it.
Oh yeah, he's going ham.
So sweet.
He love it.
Is Marisha there too?
She is.
There's no booze here.
She's found
that was explained.
Marisha has found her.
Yeah,
her pod.
Knew it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Danny, hit us with a quesk.
Okie dokie.
Why the K?
From the Pudding Pack. Great name.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Tonight, killing it.
From your many guests that have been on the show, is there a guest combo that you would like to see that you have not is there a guest combo that you would like to see that have not role played together at the table?
Combo of past guests?
Yes.
Oh man, well, I mean, like, that's what Candela.
It has nothing to do with us.
Everybody wanted Emily Axford and Laura Bailey.
That would be pretty funny.
I still want that.
I mean,
Laura's not a guest though, so that wasn't.
No, and like Emily, I will play with forever. Emily's so much fun, and Amy, I will play with. I mean, like
killer guests.
I mean, oh God, do I have to pick?
Yes, that is the question. I'm trying to think who's like a solid combo.
I'll go. I'll keep Axford and throw her in with Felicia Day. I'd like to see that.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Ashley Birch and Ukrish would be a lot of fun watching them. Mm-hmm. Jump bounce would be great. I'm dying.
Who else has a good emotional bond?
Rothfuss was good.
Yeah, I mean, oh God, this is just not fair. This is inappropriate. I can think of
it's a lot of years to go through.
It is. This is a lot of years.
They all start to bleed together.
I'd love to see Lou Wilson and Robbie Damon.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea. Good
pairing.
They're both
fun.
And then was there a second question? Sorry, Dan.
Was. From AJ Hitchner.
What's up, Hitch?
How much control do you retain over your characters after a campaign has ended?
None.
Do you hand the reins over to Matt completely, or do you still like to have some input over your previous PC stories after their main story ends?
I mean, I think Matt is technically in control of all of our characters now. However,
he's in the driver's seat, he's also in the back seat, going like, maybe we could stop for tacos.
We're also best friends, and he would never do anything major that he wasn't sure we'd be cool with, or that he doesn't really check with us, but
he knows us.
I did not yield creative control. Maybe that's why Grog hasn't appeared yet, because he keeps giving me these storylines.
Sign the form, dude.
And I'm like, no, Matt.
Oh, you're vetoing them?
Every time. Every time. Come up with something better.
we get that postscript where we get to kind of like flesh out where they've been, and then Matt.
Oh, do it.
Do it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, who
is it? Marisha FaceTiming.
Is Marisha FaceTiming us?
Oh, shit.
What's up?
Hey.
We're live on the show right now.
Put it near your microphone.
Hey, it's Robbie Damon.
Hey, Robbie Damon's there.
Were your ears burning, Robbie? Because we were just talking about you.
Don't disappear, you dick.
Don't show where they are.
Oh, it's just lights. It's just lights and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh yeah! Oh, that's an empty.
Oh, you found.
Don't say where you are.
Yeah.
We're on.
You're not.
Just a warm, sunny party in sunny Southern California. With great.
Oh.
Hey.
This is such great television.
This is just bizarre.
Everyone just staring intently at Travis's hand.
Okay, bye!
She's having a great time.
See, everything's going great.
Look at that.
Wow, that was actually very delicate. Where were we?
I don't remember. Was there a question?
There was. Where was it? It was a good one.
Giving control to Matt and the characters.
He asked me, like, before Whitestone, he's like, what's in Percy's office? Or, like, what's in his workshop?
Oh,
describe
really?
It for me.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
And, like, I had already gone over the relationships with the kids, like way back when we were doing the book, he was like, here's the relationship he has with all the kids, etc. But like, His thing he says is once the campaign's over, they're mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's how he put it to me, is it's mine now.
Mine to mess with.
Well, thank you. Oh wait, we're supposed to do one more Tower of Inquiry one. Let's make it interesting though. I have pulled one with Travis. I'll go pull one.
Yeah.
But I'll challenge myself somehow.
You have to do it with your left hand.
Left hand, sure. That's kind of easy. But
use your teeth.
I'll use my teeth.
What's you can't it? Look. You have to close your eyes.
I'll use my teeth.
Please don't use your teeth. That's really gross.
Yeah, no.
No, that's so gross.
No, it's going to be good. There haven't been hands all over that
thing. That's so unsanitary.
Oh, I've licked them all already anyway.
If he does it, I'm going to be so impressed.
You don't know what he's already
Oh my God, he's going for it.
He's, yeah.
I believe in you.
He's a professional.
Oh!
Come on!
Tetanus now.
Those teeth.
35.
That's how it works.
Wow.
I'm marking which one that is so it can be sterilized later.
Yes. I'm more concerned about his mouth.
Incredible.
My mouth is...
Have you ever had a cavity, Sam?
Never had a cavity. No broken bones. No...
He's fine, Danny.
No nothing.
He's fine.
Okay.
He's unbreakable.
Alrighty. Let's see here.
Unbreakable, unbreakable.
Oh my God.
I am the titanium.
All right.
Come on, Danny.
I'm sorry. Y'all were screaming. You were singing at me.
Love you,
Danny. Okay. Unsalty Saltines from Twitter.
Amazing. What's the point?
Amazing. Right? As an actor, have there been things you've taken from role playing at the table and incorporated into your process and other mediums?
I mean, the.
I just dealt with something. I just did an on-camera audition.
Knew it.
That was very stressful for me.
You see the trauma on his face?
It was amazing.
We told and you not to do porn yet.
It took me so many hours to put myself on tape for this role that I'm not going to get. And the whole time I was thinking, I'm on camera for 4 hours every week, and it's easy. And reading this 3-minute scene is the most terrifying, horrifying, awful thing that I've ever done in my life. So the answer is no. There's nothing I take from the table and use as an actor. Failure.
I don't know.
I'm not going to get that job.
I do. It is the fastest form of improv I've ever had to do. I never did any UCB or stand-up or anything like that. And so for me, it honed all of that stuff to a razor sharpness that was not there with Grog. Grog was a nice, easy, gentle entry into that speed, so I could just sit there and percolate like a idiot. And then when Ford came around,
I'm just amazed that any improv I ever learned was actually useful on any level. Yeah. I was really that's like a thing a lot of people learn as an actor, and you're like, well, it's like calculus in high school. Like, I'm never touching that again.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh fuck, now I'm using it every day, like he said.
Everyone should do improv. It's so fun.
It is. Yeah.
My answer is the same. I all of campaign one, both what we did together, but also I found myself so constantly impressed and inspired by the rest of you, because you're all so good. By the time I got to, was it talking about you? By the time I got to campaign two, I was really, right from the jump, I thought about the character a ton in advance, and once we got to the table every night, I really loved just not knowing where we were going, not having anything planned, and just, I really feel like I got better at listening through Caleb specifically, but again, that was because of how floored I was with my friends at the table the previous 115 games.
Speaking of listening, we will go on in a second. I feel like Matt's losing his patience with us. I feel like we should probably focus up a little bit more.
Flap dicky.
Yeah.
I think the third time where he was like, I'm gonna flip the table over and kill everybody.
Yeah, maybe we should.
In our defense, it was an extremely busy week. We're all very, very...
Rain. We're so excited to have fun with each other when we get
true.
There.
And
we
also, look forward to it. High-stress environments make us say silly things to cope.
That's right.
So true.
It's such a good outlet for us.
It is.
Laura can't let anything pervy.
Well, Matt mimed climbing into a vagina in the last game.
Yes, he did.
What was I supposed to do?
I know. There's nothing you can do. He's gotten better about his names, though. He's making his names harder and harder to say so that we can't make fun of them. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pudding Pack. Speaking of great names, thank you, Pudding Pack, AJ Hitchner, and Unsalty Saltines. And if you have any kind of fan question for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower. And with that, we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, we are?
And if you're a podcast listener or a person who skips this part of the show, which is called C-Block Lulls, hey, thanks for hanging with us. We bid you adieu, goodbye. But please don't be that person. Stick around and watch us, because when we come back, we're going to be playing Darrington Press's own Caper Cards, a lovely little card game where you can play as Bell's Hells, that's us, attempting to carry out a high-stakes heist. And guess what? We won't be asking leftover tankard questions.
Nope.
Why?
So we all can focus on the game.
Oh, I like that. Should we sing goodbye to the podcast?
It's usually really hard for y'all
people?
To answer the questions because you're also trying to play a game. So we're experimenting to see if this is better.
Oh, this is an experiment, so I shouldn't neg it?
Well, I mean, you're going to do that anyway.
Okay,
so.
I will say we probably won't be asking any leftover tanker questions. Yeah. But we will definitely be.
What if I take them from you?
I like acknowledging the audio people. So long, farewell, I'll be dead. See you later.
That's public domain. We'll see you soon.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive. In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/criticalrole and youtube.com/criticalrole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.